Tonight we're going to look at making the hard changes in me and focusing on our individual lives. And on this, there's two terms that I was reminded of during the background research for the study. Term number one is this, unavoidable defects. Every one of us have defects. Every one of us have certain problems that we think nobody has, and not only do we think that they don't have, we don't believe that they could be hurting nearly as bad as we are with those same defects. Unavoidable defects. That's the Food and Drug Administration say these are certain areas that we cannot block out. So here it is. If you're liking pizza, chocolate, potato chips, pasta, peanut butter, jelly, and wheat bread, listen to this. The Food and Drug Administration says that they will allow 30 fly eggs per 100 grams of pizza sauce. I wonder who was doing all this counting when they did this. Fly eggs. Chocolate. In 100 grams, the FDA allows 60 insect parts. The FDA, they say. Potato chips allows for up to 6% of the chips in a bag to be rotten. That's all right, just eat the rotten ones. Pasta, the FDA allows in 6 samples of pasta 225 insect fragments. You know, if the pasta's good, you won't pay any attention to them, I guess, on that. Now, peanut butter and jelly sandwich on wheat bread. Cherry jam can have up to 30% mold. I wonder what makes that different from any other jam. Okay, might not be. 100 grams of peanut butter allows 25 milligrams of dirt. Well, I've eaten enough dirt. Yeah, it's probably good. Better for us than the bugs.
It's been blessed.
You know the saying, God made dirt.
Dirt won't hurt.
Okay. 25 milligrams of dirt, 30 insect fragments, and 2 rodent hairs. You got to figure, ask who wrote these guidelines for the FDA. Okay. Every kilogram of wheat is allowed 9 milligrams of rat poop. That's in the wheat bread. That healthy wheat bread.
You notice it didn't say anything about peanut butter fudge.
Yeah, doesn't, does it? Well, if you cook it at a high enough temperature, it doesn't matter what's in it as long as you had to sugar coat it, would be good. Gosh, I ate the rats in Vietnam, but I never did that other stuff. Okay, term number two. This is for the military. And when the military looks at this, pay attention to it real close. Term number two is zero deficit mentality. Now, the military said, you don't do this. Listen, it is an atmosphere that tolerates absolutely no mistakes. Now, the military considers a zero deficit mentality a serious leadership failure because it kills the initiative necessary for success on any battlefield. You think of that. If we get to the zero defect mentality, and the way some of these guys are getting court-martialed in war zone, I mean, you got to be there, folks, to understand what goes on. But then they say, no, we can't do this because what if we accidentally kill some of the enemy? Then are they going to come at us because the zero defect mentality? So the military says, absolutely not. You have to be allowed to have freedom. As the Lord says, He gives us the freedom of choice. He gives us still the freedom to walk away. He gives us the freedom not to walk away. So the power is in the freedom of choice. I don't care if I don't eat the pizza, if the bug part bothers you. But folks, we have to remember that each of us are uniquely made and fashioned by God. And we are individuals with individual personalities. Therefore, God says individually, I'm going to bless you with an individual ministry. You take your individual ministry that you have, you bring it together with the body or the church, you bring it together with my body, and that way the body of Christ on earth today, which is the church, the body of Christ then functions glorifying God with the multiplicity of personalities. I mean, good gracious. I don't know how many different personalities I have inside me. And I know all of us deal with it. You got a personality when you're happy. Do you notice you have a different personality when you're sad and when you're angry, when you're hurt? Have you noticed all the different personalities? John, you got your hands full anyway, son. So why is it so hard to change the stuff in me that I don't like? Isn't it interesting we say, I don't like who I am or what I do? Okay, if I really don't like it, why don't I change it? The reason is I've had them too long. When you have something so long, change is horrible. Change, it is so bad to the point that we're afraid that if we change in our thinking or any way, that if we change, we're still not going to be in control, or we're not going to be in control. And the truth of the matter is, you're not in control. None of us are. The change takes so long within us because this is the way I've always done it. We've always done it this way. We've had it so long this way. The next one is, I identify with those things. I identify with the problems. I identify with the personality that I have, and it's hard for me to change when I have the identity of whatever that is, whether it's peanut butter fudge or whatever, when, that's a part of who I am. Therefore, if I stop it, I'm afraid that I won't be the same person. Folks, there's a lot of folks that are afraid to walk out into the light of the world. They're afraid to go out in public. I forgot what psychosis that is, but it's and then not only that, the stuff that I don't like has a payoff. Makes me feel good. Makes my stomach feel even better the more of it that I eat. Because you see, all of us do not eat healthy like the health foods of White Castles and peanut butter fudge. But a lot of people won't eat them, especially at the same time. But you all ought to try that. That gives a taste that's out of this world. Then the next is that Satan discourages me from changing. As you hear me say quite often, folks, Satan could take a vacation and we'd still sin. Proof of that, end of the age. He's going to be chained for 1,000 years, let loose, and he had an army automatically of human beings. Okay, here are 6 requirements for personal change. Number 1, change requires learning the truth. Now, if you have an idea of the way things are, you were raised on that idea, and then here somebody comes along and messes up your whole lifestyle, giving you facts about the situation, and then finally telling you the truth. I don't want to hear the truth if I'm in love with the lie that I'm telling myself. So change requires learning that truth. Do you think maybe that some people don't want to learn it for fear that they may change? And okay, think of it this way too. When many individuals would, when they accept Christ, and they look back after accepting Christ, they look back at their families or the loved ones that they had, and I mean they torment themselves, because I've heard enough of those questions. I loved my dad. I loved my mom. I loved my sisters. I loved them so much. But they died, and they didn't know Jesus. Are they in hell? So there, then, you listen to them battle. You know, is it wrong for me to feel good about going to heaven when my whole family went to hell? Here's one thing, again, that we need to understand. The love of God goes a lot deeper, folks, than you or I can ever dream. The mercy of God, think of it. I look at my own life, and I can say, if God had mercy on me, he can have mercy on anybody. And then you say, or I do, even when I have to do one of those funerals, I don't know, but I do know this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Christ will have given every human being on planet Earth the opportunity to make that commitment. It will happen. The Lord said, I reveal myself to you. How deep is that? Deeper than you and I will ever figure out. Okay, Ephesians 4:21. Since you have heard all about Jesus and have learned the truth that is in him. So, in thinking about learning the truth, it is every truth that matters to you and me is the truth in who Christ is. I'm going to heaven over what he did for me, not what I'm doing. I'm going to heaven because I know him. I have love in my heart because of his love for me. It's all about who Jesus is, because truth is in him. We try to look different. We try to act different to people. Good gracious, when I had hair, there is no telling how much hairspray I'd go through in a revival. Because, yeah, when I would do,
good, don't you,
oh man, you got to go, and so therefore you do it, and then what else we do? Remember, we get our picture made, and then we tell them to touch it up,
yeah.
Touch it up a little, and so a little vanity there. They tell me, but no, I want that picture to look like I think I ought to look. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. So, don't ever doubt the truth of the scripture. And that's a great battle that goes on, especially with the younger generation, is because they're going to have to listen to people in college, professors, a lot of high school, and even grade school. They will give you that look when you talk about being a Christian. You know, we're blessed in this county, folks. We are mightily blessed. We have school teachers that speak of the Lord. And we have people who really care. This is a community of Christians. But when you get to college, that foreign country. Remember how college was, stretch your mind to make you think. At Southern Seminary at one time, the professors, a lot of us, of course, I went to Boys Bible School a lot of times you would listen to the professor and you'd think, Lord, should I witness and try to lead him to Jesus before I leave the class? Well, that was them stretching my mind. I did not want to get my mind stretched. You never know when it's going to snap. You don't want it stretched too much. And now it's not, we're going to stretch your mind to encourage you to think. Now we're going to tell you what you need to think. Big difference. We will tell you what you need to think and how you need to see the world. Very dangerous time. Number two, change requires making choices. And I always go back to the lunch on Sunday. Everybody says we're starving to death and nobody will decide what we're going to eat. And as soon as somebody speaks up, this is where I want to go here. Well, I don't like that place. Pick something else. Yeah, it's just... Yeah. 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 And then when you get there, somebody fusses. I told you all this wasn't going to taste good. Change requires making choices. Ephesians 4:22. Throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception, of danger, which is the world. The lust and deception of wealth, cure-all, of collecting things in life. It reminds me of some of those hoarders the pickers are one thing, but then the hoarders, remember, in their houses, and they climb over top and I don't guess you got to clean the floor, but when you do that, a lot of that goes on. Philippians 2:12-13, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, Philippians 2:12, where many will pick up and say, you see, you have to work out your own salvation. But the word work here that is used English, it actually translates into the action of God. It is the action of God within you. But we said to work out your salvation, it means how God works in your life. Well, you read the rest of it, you can tell. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. There's your definition. You got it? To will and to act according to his good purpose. My salvation is of the way your salvation is, through the blood of Jesus Christ. As we look at our salvation in Christ, all of us then have the personality of God, who's the center of our existence as Christians. And each of us then, working out our salvation from the standpoint of, meaning God working in us, but each of us called to a different type of service within the body. And when we read the scripture of God, you and I cannot get in depth up here, or we're going to lose the power. We have the depth of the choice focuses on the spirituality within each individual, individually, that spirituality and a call of service. There is no human being that's called and blessed to be a Christian that hasn't been given a purpose in that Christian walk. Many people say, well, you know, I've gone through my whole life and not known my purpose. Do you really believe that God will keep you blindfolded? Or do we believe that, well, God's purpose that I really felt he had for me, it just wouldn't me. You know, polka dots, it's just not me. And all of that kind of, well, would Christians do the exact same thing? Well, no, Lord. I need to be an evangelist. I didn't need you to send me to the prison system for 28 years. You know, what happened to the exciting stuff? Number three, change requires new thinking. I don't ever want to learn another new computer program. And upgrading, I don't ever want to upgrade my computer ever again. Because it takes me, by the time that upgrade is outdated, I just then learn how to do it. Okay, now I can read Kidder's mind over there. Yeah, Ephesians 4:23. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. As I've aged over the years, it'll come to everyone. You might as well hang on. Because if you stick around on earth, you're going to get old. So a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitude. Have you noticed, though, that how we think today, how I see people today, it's not the way I saw them in the past. Yeah. And you say, you know, people have really changed. I really like and really love people because they've really changed. No, it's you. It's in your thinking. It's how you see people. It's how you look to their heart. It's how you care about who they are from within. It's the love that you have that is different. And everything you look at it anymore with that new attitude. The new attitude focuses on, well, I know why she's the way she is because I met her husband. Or I know why he's the way he is because I met his wife. Or I know why there's so much trouble because I was with that group a long time. And we're always looking at ourselves on our old thinking of saying, everybody else really needs to change and it'll make me happy. And the greatest happiness you and I will ever have is when we're willing to change our attitude towards others and we keep growing in this until finally we grow right out of this world. And we go to the ultimate Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For future work for him. Keep that in your mind. There's nothing in Scripture that says when we leave that that's it. You know, we're in our retirement plan. We will continue to learn in heaven. We will continue to serve the Lord, he says, where he calls us to serve him. We even get to be back here on this earth, according to Scripture, during a 1,000-year reign, and we will have our glorified bodies. Now, what am I going to do down here on earth in a glorified body? And, of course, the Scripture does say, and people will be born. You still, life goes on. A lot of folks say it's at the Battle of Armageddon, but we know that that's not the end battle. It's the great battle, but it's not the last battle. And so as we're here with Christ preparing for universal service in the galaxies, Star Trek's statement, what is it? Going where no one has gone before.
Where no man's ever gone.
Yep. I guarantee you our first trip's going to be to heaven.
As a place. Well, we have wings.
No, actually the scripture says we won't. Think, feel, and act. That's the new thinking. We need to change the way we think, change the way we feel, change the way we act. Well, how do I control the way I feel? You check out when in that type of emotion or that type of feeling. Find, look deep inside of yourself. Why have you thought this about that individual? What makes you think the way that you think? If you're feeling hurtful to someone else, what have you done wrong? Well, it's not me. No, you know, nothing's about me. It's what they did wrong to me. Philippians 2:5. Let the same mind and attitude be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Are we not to grow in Christ? So in growing in Christ as we age or as we walk closer with his word, do we not understand that we have the mind of Christ? How do I know when I have the mind of Christ? The more you love, the more mind of Christ you'll have in you. And when you start having love for not just those who love you back, but when you have love for the people that are out to harm you, when you have love for a world that has gone wild, but that love goes to the depth of the love that Christ has for us. You know, we were not angels. I wasn't when I accepted Christ. I was just a sweet little kid when I accepted Christ. Watch yourself, girl. You get stepping over the line there now. Okay. Number four. Change requires the Holy Spirit. Again, please catch this. Always. People say, I can accept the Lord anytime that I wish. Chaplain, don't worry about it. I'll say yes to this Jesus of that you speak about just before I die. You know, I'm going to wait till a later date. Change requires the Holy Spirit. It requires conviction. For me to accept Christ meant that Christ initiated first contact. The human race has never initiated first contact with God. It's always been God touching us, touching our heart. Ephesians 4:24. You must put on your new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteousness, holy, and true. Well, am I really righteous? Do you want to do what is right? The righteousness from our standpoint is horrible because of our human condition. The Lord said that. It's as filthy rags. And he also tells us that you and I are saved in righteousness through his righteousness. So therefore, I am righteous in his sight because I trusted Jesus. He is the righteous one. So therefore, in him, it is his righteousness. And when he presents us to the Father, it is his righteousness that covers us. God himself said we were rotten. I'm sorry I made man. You're talking about God who looked at us and realizing the only hope was for he himself to come down. And the fair way, if we want to say it that way, God said, how can I be a judge or how can we deal with problems in life? So God already had this figured out. So therefore, I'm going down and I'm going to take on the feelings of the human race. I'm going to focus on how you, and you feel. I want to know the agony. And boy, didn't he catch it. People didn't even want to be around him, especially on that cross, because he was as though he was not human 1 Corinthians 3:18, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. That again is Holy Spirit power. Number five, change requires honest community. Meaning, you don't have one person or one teacher within a church body that's teaching a doctrine here and another teacher teaching another doctrine there. Or no, I've seen it in churches many times before, and you have quite a bit of it going on within churches today. Whether it's one Sunday school class is focuses on Calvinism within the Baptist churches, and the other one says, no, Calvinism should not be in the class. So you picked which class you go to according to the way you're thinking. And speaking of Calvinism, you all don't know what I'm talking about, but you will deal with different doctrine of Scripture. And Calvinism would say that I was created in the image of God and I had no choice. I was saved and God knew, well, God did know that I was going to be saved, but I still had the free will. But in Calvinism, it's not free will, meaning that you are a Christian, so therefore, why are you going to go out and witness? Whoever is going to be saved is going to be saved, and whoever is born into the of Satan will be that way. I do not believe that. I believe salvation in the Lord is open to anyone, and we always have that freedom of choice. But that has entered the Southern Baptist churches. So how do they deal with it? Well, that's just split up the classes. That really helps, doesn't it? Change requires that honest community. Ephesians 4:25. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other. Neighbor, truthfully, your dog is driving me nuts. I want to be truthful with you. Y'all be careful with the truth. See, sometimes we think truth is in how we perceive an individual or a situation. You know, I know what the truth is about you. No, you don't. Folks, the only truth that's in us is Christ. Look, I know who you are. No, you don't. You just know where I live. Galatians 6:2. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. Remember, when we're talking about, do you keep the law of Christ? The law of Christ is love. The only thing that's coming in the presence that when we have the end at the judgment seat of Christ, the only thing that's going to make it through that is presented to God the Father is going to be that which was done in godly love. You cannot have the wrong attitude or the attitude of the world. It might be something good. Well, I'm going to go feed all of these people. And you beat the drum of feeding all the people. But folks, it goes deeper than that. That's not where it is at all. It is the law of Christ. Are you going to do it because it's the love of Christ? Are you going to tell them about Jesus? Are you going to share with them the truth? I remember when United Way said to us in the jail ministry, said, you can't, what was it? It said, we didn't tell you that you couldn't preach the gospel. We simply told you that you can't use our money to do it. So, number six, change requires overcoming temptation. Let me tell you the temptation that is destroying this country and all the other countries. The temptation of, and people say, well, is it your cigars? Is it this? Is it this person or that person? No, that's not the temptation that's destroying us. We're tempted to believe in other gods. There's another way to heaven other than Christ. People, okay, when somebody comes to you and says, now you know the love of God. Now, I don't know about your this Jesus that you'd speak of, but I want you to know I believe there is a God. Well, that's good, because the devils not only believe there is a God, they tremble because of who God is. But that temptation to make somebody feel better. How do you make somebody feel better that the Lord says is going to hell? What do you do? Do you say, oh, well, you know, that's okay. As long as you believe in something. You heard that one? Yeah, as long as you believe in something. Folks, outside of Jesus Christ, there's no other way to heaven. It's only Him. So what do? We are tempted because we love people. Lord, you told me to love them. Well, if I truly love someone, will I not tell them the truth about eternity living? Do I then lie to them just so they'll feel good here and burn later? No. You and I have an obligation as Christians that to back away from the temptation of false doctrine. It is idolatry that is destroying this nation today. Idolatry. Too many people worshiping themselves. Too many people, you know, wait a minute, you know, if this is, what's in it for me? That is a sin in America today that is and has destroyed families and continues to. And when the families are in a destructive state, the church is in a destructive state. And when you have the breakdown from the family to the church to the community, and everybody says, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. The Lord says, what are you looking for? I've given you the best. You got a retirement out of this world. You're never going to have to worry about anything in eternity. And I will give you blessing after blessing. Trust me. But Lord, what if what you give me is not what I wanted? Now, Lord, you call me to preach, but what if you tell me to preach somewhere that I don't want to preach? Now, can't I preach over here, or I can do this first, and because it's still preaching? No. We must follow the direction that God leads us in. Ephesians 4:26-27. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Angry with someone you love. How many people have over your lifetime have you heard or saw that were angry at God? They wasn't going back to church because they're mad at God. God let my child die. God took something from me. And I'm going to show God. I'm just not going to go back to church. People will say, well, that's only hurt you, but it doesn't. It's hurt you and me too. When I see someone that falls to that, it hurts me. But I cannot do anything about it. When that person withdraws from the truth, when that person is completely overcome with anger and the temptation finds its path, and it's always, why is it that they always stop church first? You know, it doesn't matter what happens in their life. If tragedy strikes, the first thing people do is walk away from church. And then blame because of a bad marriage. Blame everybody else because of this or that. Folks, ought not be that way. Ephesians 4:20, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Does, don't it? Now, if I'm angry with you, I mean from the human standpoint, the true, that type of anger with you. We can be angry with each other because of just the fussing with each other. Gosh, the disciples had to drive Jesus half crazy. He got to see what putting 12 men together and each one thinking about themselves. And he loved them anyway. I reach out to that one. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you, when you've got 12 men and they're married, you got 12 women.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember that deal at another church where they had to take a break? The deacon body did, so they could go home and check with their wife. They didn't want to vote the wrong way. Said, yep. You know why the wives weren't there? They weren't allowed to be in a business meeting. Yeah. Any negative emotion, anger, worry, fear, resentment, bitterness, loneliness, guilt, shame, regret, and anxiety. Folks, these are areas within our life that we're tempted with for destruction. These are the areas that will bring us down. Therefore, knowing it, we support one another and lift each other up. Because you may fall today, but I can fall tomorrow. So how am I going to treat you as you fell today and expect you to do better than me tomorrow? We need to be careful, folks, because God says that the hardest change you and I'll have is in me. Not your pastor, but in the individual, me. You got trouble with your pastor.